like to read the next in my series of blogs about a trip that I took with my partner and two friends on a cruise ship from Rome, Italy, through Spain and Portugal, and across the Atlantic to Florida. This post is called Probabilities on the High Seas. 2 days out of Porto Santo, on our way west across the Atlantic, our sighted friend spotted a scientific buoy only 20 meters off our starboard rail. These autonomous floating gadgets are, I understand, set adrift to go wherever they're carried on the seas, sending data on temperature and salinity up to research satellites. I have no idea how many of them may be abroad on the oceans, but the probability of seeing one from the ship seems pretty darn low to me.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Life at Sea chat. We have an expert panel to answer your questions this morning, and please welcome to the stage Captain Tim, Chief Engineer Peter, and the Hotel Director Bart. And I always like to get the ball rolling. I'll ask the first question.
A traffic control center, and they watch us with great keenness, and it's a good job they do, because there are those who don't follow the traffic lanes, even though they've been well-marked and enforced by the International Maritime Organization since the 80s.
Yeah, provisioning, I'm talking about the food, all the beverages, all the different supplies, toilet paper, they're coming from the United States. So what we do is we put them in the United States. We have a hub on the east side and we have a hub on the west side. And we put them in containers and we ship them to the ship, wherever that ship is at the moment. So our last provisioning was, of course, in Vice Vecchia, Rome, and we got about 6 containers. Some of them were dry containers, some of them were chilled containers.
Another nautical phenomenon I'd never heard of before is shorebirds following boats until they die. The birds, that is, not the boats. Apparently, land birds will sometimes fly alongside a boat or ship for quite a long way. Eventually, they'll land somewhere on the boat, then simply keel over. See the nautical metaphor I used there? And die, presumably from exhaustion. Rarely, such birds will revive and fly away, but most of the time they don't. It seems to be something of a sad mystery, and without access to Google, it's going to stay that way for me, for now at least. And I'm completely okay with that.
2006, it's a maritime labor organization. They set fairly high standards for cruise ships, what we have to pay people, how long they can work, how much rest they need to have, their accommodation on board. And it's a
shipboard life offers lots of options for keeping oneself diverted, entertained, sustained, informed, and indulged. Bizarrely, I've been finding myself awake and alert early in the morning, so today I took part in one of the more unexpected activities aboard. Each morning at 8 o'clock, that's 800 in naval language, Father Barry conducts mass in one of the smaller meeting rooms. A complex array of motivations made me want to go, and it was by far the most unusual mass I've ever attended. Now that I think about it, apart from the occasional wedding, it's probably the only mass out of thousands that I've ever attended by choice. Once my mother thought I was old enough to choose, I chose no thanks. The service itself wasn't particularly unusual, just its context. There were around 15 congregants, with a lay reader, songs with no instrumental accompaniment, and a pleasant, intimate feel. The priest is a personable man, maybe in his 40s, with an easy manner of speaking and an entirely capable voice for the singing parts. The responses came easily to my lips, which moved politely, despite my inner lack of conviction. I'd never attended such a small mass or one outside of a church, and I was forcibly struck by the vast array of spaces in which mass has been conducted in the 2,000 years or so within which Catholic mass has existed. As a child, mass was something held in a building set aside for it, or occasionally in a space set aside in my school. But mass began as an illegal rite whose participants courted death by attending. Since then, in different times and places, it's existed secretly as something forbidden and dangerous. Attending a service by choice in such an improbable location made me more aware of this than I'd ever been.
Having an additional one which made the Amazon cruise, if you'll do after this one, less challenging. We will get an RO plant, reverse osmosis, that will help us even more to make water and deal with those challenges in the port, whenever we visit ports where we cannot load water. So there's a lot of things going on, and this will all be organized in this next dry dock, May 2016, which is a very important one for the Prinsenhof.
Let's thank our panel for answering your questions today. They did a great job. Captain Tim, the Chief Engineer Peter, and your host.
I had wondered whether being so far from everywhere in the middle of the ocean would make me feel edgy or uneasy, but the ship is so improbably comfortable that I don't feel anything like that. It's hard to feel like you're in the middle of nowhere when there's gourmet food every day, gym equipment, hot tubs, and a drink of the day. Today's drink is a chocolate martini. I'm counting the minutes till happy hour, as contrasted with existential angst hour, when the second drink is only a dollar. Tomorrow's drink of the day is an espresso martini. My favorite time of the day for coffee just happens to coincide with happy hour. Life is so good. The wind is quite strong today, and there's a notable swell that makes it challenging to walk without holding on to something. The treadmill felt a bit like yoga, lots of uncommon balancing action combined with the usual. The strong wind means lots of spray, so anything out on the balcony, including me, gets coated in salt pretty quickly. So I'm sitting inside on our little couch, moving slowly up and down, and feeling incredibly lucky. The captain just informed us over the PA that we're now in one of the deepest parts of the Atlantic, nearly 3,000 meters. There's been no seabirds around, but there's life aplenty beneath us, lots of which hasn't been catalogued yet. I love to think about this. There's something really exciting in it.